Enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com. I'm HRN's Communication Director, Kat Johnson, with a preview of the next episode of Meat and Three, our weekly food news roundup. We're exploring the future of eating animals, and we're going beyond typical meat sources.
If you look at the length of human history, we've been eating insects a lot longer than we haven't been in the United States and Western Europe.
We're looking at unusual ways to purchase meat.
People are like, really? Why would I want to buy that out of a machine?
And we introduce you to Frank Rees, a poultry farmer whose traditional farming methods are featured in a new documentary.
I'm a fourth generation farmer in Kansas, and I focus basically all on standard bred poultry and have my whole life.
He's kind of the last one standing with these rarefied breeds that are so important for if we're going to eat chicken and turkey into the future. He's essential. He's a national treasure.
Listen to Meat and Three this week to better understand the history and the future of meat. Available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to HRN Happy Hour. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, and somewhere is Bushwick. I'm Kat Johnson, the Communications Director here at HRN, and Katie is out today, and so I have my step-in co-host, Hannah Forden.
Oh, hello. Happy Thursday.
Hannah is our membership coordinator, so she can tell you all about how to become a member of HRN.
Oh, I'm so glad that you asked. If you go to heritageradionetwork.org, there is a beating heart at the top right corner of your screen. And we're about to head into our summer drive, so if you donate now, that means that's like one less time that I annoy you asking you for money over the next 6 weeks.
Yeah. Sounds
so
good to me.
Get ahead of the curve, shut me up early, and make a donation. It is tax deductible, and we will be very grateful.
And you're supporting food radio.
Exactly.
Free food radio for all.
Which really, I mean, is there anything better?
No, there's not.
I don't think so.
Just free food.
Yes.
Yeah, we have that too often.
Our guest today is nodding his head very enthusiastically about free food. I'm super excited that he's here because he is not based in New York, so it's a treat to have him here. His name is Rodney Scott.
Hello.
Of Rodney Scott Barbecue. And we also have another guest in studio with us. He was on a previous show recently. Brian Kinney is back in action.
Hello.
And so we're going to talk to Rodney a little bit more about some of the really exciting news that has been happening in his world lately. But first, we have a couple of quick announcements that we want to get to.
Okay, so coming up soon, we have a really exciting event that I think everyone should run to get tickets for. I certainly am. It is called Changing the Conversation, and it's going to be a panel discussion with a bunch of really influential, game-changing voices in the food scene talking about how we can make the food space more inclusive and celebratory of women, people of color, LGBTQ community, all of those underrepresented groups. And it's going to be kind of led by our very own Sari Kamen, host of, Food Without Borders. I just had brain freeze. And Korsha Wilson, host of A Hungry Society. And they're going to have other food writers, farmers, and we're really, really excited. You can buy tickets through our Facebook page, or you can head to Eventbrite. Just search Changing the Conversation.
And another event I wanted to point out is this is happening next week on June 28th. That's a Thursday. At 6:30 p.m., I will be in conversation with Mark Kurlansky, a James Beard award-winning food writer. You may know of his books, Cod and Salt. They're these kind of epic food histories. His most recent book is called Milk, A 10,000-Year Food Fracas. And I will be talking to him about all of the historical, environmental, social implications of dairy and all of the many food products that are derived from it. I'm very excited about that. So if you're in Brooklyn, head on over to MOFAD, and you can go to mofad.org to get your tickets. Cool. Okay, so Rodney Scott is the recent winner of the James Beard Award for the Outstanding Chef Southeast.
Woo-hoo!
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So well deserved. I think that there's a lot of people out there that are celebrating this win with you and for you, and so we wanted to be part of that as well. What was it like to walk up on stage and accept that award in Chicago?
That was the longest walk of my life. When I was sitting there and everybody just started jumping up on my row, and I was sitting there saying, who won? And they were like, you got to get up, you got to get up. And I was like, okay, okay. And as I walked down there, it was like walking the last mile or something. It was like long, slow, blinding walk. So halfway there, I saw somebody I knew I hadn't seen in years, spoke to him. I was like, I think I got to go on stage. It was shocking. It was, you know, all day I didn't have a real appetite after 12 o'clock that day. So
yeah.
Were you nervous?
I started to get nervous the closer we got to the award ceremony. Mm. And I couldn't drink.
Mm. Yeah.
I didn't want to be too drunk, but.
Of course.
There was a little booze hustling going on in the crowd, uh-huh. You know? Mm-hmm. So I was a little, all right.
It's a bunch of chefs. I mean, we expect nothing less. Yeah,
there was a flask or two here. Little loose. Yeah.
When you look at the people that have won that award, you're kind of in the rarefied air now. It's like,
Well, you're only the second barbecue chef, I guess you'd say, who's won. And the other one is Aaron Franklin, I believe.
Aaron Franklin, yeah.
So, I mean, it really is very rare.
Very rare. I was surprised, very happy. It was a humbling experience to know that the hard work does pay off, but it also was a wake-up call to, you got to go back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you got to keep that reputation going.
And going back to work, what does that mean? What is happening in the world of Rodney Scott Barbecue right now?
It's a whole lot of smoke, baby. A whole lot of smoke. We have been very busy since that award ceremony. Pretty steady every day. Everything from the ribs, the hogs, the chicken, everything people are interested in. They're coming in. Guests from all over the place are coming to visit, mm-hmm. even if it's just to say hello.
But you're used to that. I mean, you grew up in Hemingway, South Carolina.
Yes.
And this is a family business for you, and you and your family really made a name for yourselves with the barbecue you're making. And people were traveling to Hemingway, and Hemingway is not necessarily the travel destination that Charleston is. So,
no.
I mean, what was that like when people started driving for hundreds of miles to come eat at this restaurant in a rural area of the state?
Unbelievable. Every time I take that ride from Charleston to Hemingway, I'm like, this is 2 hours before you eat. And, you know, to get somebody's attention, to get them down 2 hours away just to taste what you're doing is, it was pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a challenge to get people there, but it was always extended invitations for everybody to come through.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that you cooked your first hog by yourself when you were 11?
Yes. I was doing it myself, I thought, but there was an adult watching me. I was actually doing a labor, but it was just supervising adult in the background that I didn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to make sure you didn't burn your little tiny fingers off.
He just stayed there watching all day long.
And how long did it take?
All day long.
Yeah, like 10 hours or?
About 12.
12 hours.
About 12 hours, yeah.
Wow.
It's impressive that
it's a ritual.
Yes.
Right?
Half a day commitment. Mm-hmm. Easy, you know. It's.
And then it tastes so good.
Rewarding.
It's the reason that you do it.
I think that's a great way to teach kids like a long attention span, especially if it's like, this is a project that will literally take you all day and you're gonna get good at it. So I'm definitely sure that was good for your 11-year-old brain.
A little bit,
maybe.
I mean, so we were just before we started the show talking about like Brian Furman and Howard Conyers, and there's a lot of like Howard Conyers is someone who does a similar style of barbecue that you do. He's also from South Carolina, but he doesn't own a restaurant. So, you know, this is something that he, and I'm sure that you do the same, it's a passion project as well. And so, what do you think that there's a future in that where people are getting more of an appreciation for, like, the art of barbecuing?
I really hope so. You know, a lot of people ask me, how does winning this award change your life? And I tell them it changed my life a lot. I also tell them that it's giving a lot of people hope that barbecue can change their lives as well. And they feel like the door is open, mm-hmm. to the food world, to the hobbies. to the guys in the backyard on Father's Day weekend. You know, they're a lot more confident now that they can do this because they do it the way that I do it. Some of them want to get into it, and they're just getting that confidence now to go out and try it.
Mm-hmm. Now I want to talk a little bit about a business partner of yours, Nick Pihakis.
My man.
You thanked him in your speech, and you've been working with him for several years now.
Yes.
When did you first meet Nick?
I met Nick back in 2009.
And Nick Pihakis is Nick of Jim and Nick's, if anyone's you know, familiar with the barbecue chain, and they do some really great work as well. So how did he help you with maybe some of the aspects of running a barbecue restaurant that were newer to you?
Wow, Nick was a big contribution to where I stand now as well because of his experience in going through what we went through. Mm-hmm. You know, he experienced coming from one tiny business, advancing procedures, finances, mm-hmm. you know, real estate. And he just shared his experiences with me. He says, I see in you what I've already been through. Mm-hmm. If you would just hear me, you do what you want afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it was like that for years. And we were friends as well. I mean, we talk almost every single day, even before we decided to open a business together. Mm-hmm. And we're just tight. We just shared experiences. We worked together hands-on. So I was like, this is the guy I need to stick with and talk to a lot because I can pick his brain on how to advance myself. Mm-hmm. And I tried some of his suggestions and they worked a lot, mm-hmm. you know, big improvements on the business, a lot of advancements and things were great.
And Rodney Scott Barbecue in Charleston is your first location.
Yes.
Outside of your family's restaurant.
Yes.
And it's been open for a little over a year.
A little over a year, yes.
February 2017.
Yes.
And I was super lucky. And when we were down for Charleston Wine and Food, I got to go and be part of the tent revival, barbecue tent revival.
Tent revival.
Can you explain what that event was? Because it was a lot of things and it was incredible. It was more than I expected. And what kind of the mission or missions, there were like two really cool organizations involved in that event. What was that evening like?
That evening is very special, especially to me, because that's the first event I've ever done outside of Hemingway. And that was back in 2010. And I was invited through the Southern Foodways Alliance with John T. Edge. And it's pretty much an uplifting dinner to help support farmers and sharecroppers that are all connected with the SFA, as well as guest chefs that come in who've never cooked in Carolina or never cooked away from home as well. And it's like a giant family reunion for the food guys.
That's what it felt like.
And, you know, it was held at Nick's downtown Charleston, and they've since closed that building. And they said, where are we going to do it next? And they said, Rodney, are you open to doing this dinner? I said, of course. Love to host this dinner because this is the dinner that changed my life. So yes, please come. But it's a great dinner. You were there, you know.
Yeah. So explain a little bit too about, so it was you and Sam Jones, and you had both previously kind of been honored at this dinner in years past, and you were honoring a new pitmaster, or not a new pitmaster, but new to this event. Who was that, and why was that significant?
Well, this past year was Miguel from Valentina's in Austin, Texas. And we always come together with the previous guys and host the new guests. You know, we did Helen from Helen's Barbecue, Sam as well after the first year I did it, and several other pit masters. But it's, how can I explain it? You promote the next person to let them know that we're like family here in the food world. Southern Foodways Alliance is great, and they usually show a documentary on the pitmaster that we're inviting to the dinner. So it's kind of a night honoring that guest pitmaster and to show homage we all come together and be there to support them.
Mm-hmm. I really liked one of my favorite moments of the evening, besides all of the food that was great. And Miguel cooks amazing brisket, and he kind of combines that with the Mexican cuisine, and he wraps it in these amazing tortillas, and it was like just delicious.
I'm just dying of jealousy right now. I was in Charleston not doing that.
We did, we couldn't bring the whole team.
Flights come in every day.
Next week.
Exactly. But one of my favorite moments was that we were all handed, quote, pit flasks.
Yeah.
And we got to tour the pit room. Yeah. Is that what you call it, the pit room?
You call it the pit room, pit house.
Pit house.
Whatever you want.
And we got to sit there and drink our pit flasks, some delicious cocktail that was in it, while we got to hear about the everything that goes on there. And I was in there with like Ashley Christensen and Eli Sussman, who was, you know, one of our hosts, was down there with us. It was just such a communal, like, intimate experience, and it was really, really fun. And then another organization that's obviously very involved in that event, which is, you know, that you and Nick Pihakis are so involved in, is Fatback.
Fatback,
and
yes.
We did a short story on Fatback in a previous episode of our show, Meetin' Three. And so we hear a snippet from you and Sam Jones and a snippet from Nick Pihakis. But can you elaborate on what Fatback is and what you know, what you're pushing to do?
Fatback is a group of food writers, chefs, some farmers. We all came together as a group to hopefully travel, teach, and inspire other chefs, farmers, even kids especially, which is one of my personal favorites, to dream big, to do what you want, to let you know that you can take what you've seen and learned and incorporate it in every day in your own life. Mm-hmm. So our main job is to influence people to do better and give their best.
Mm-hmm. And they Fatback has... It's basically a network of farmers, and it's encouraging them to, similar to Heritage Foods, raise Berkshire pork, with, you know, some standards set in place.
Yeah.
And it's in Eva, Alabama, and they also have a processing facility there as well. Have you been to visit?
I hadn't been to Eva yet.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Have I? A lot of bourbon be involved sometimes, so
yeah,
can't quite remember all the time.
So maybe you've
yeah,
been there.
I've been there.
Yeah, you've been there.
Yeah?
I think I've been there.
I mean, it's like a dot on the map. It is super tiny. It's north of Birmingham, I believe. So,
like I said, a lot of bourbon.
Somewhere.
A lot of bourbon.
I'm from Alabama, so I know how it can be. You're on a back road, and you're like, I don't know where I am.
Just
somewhere.
Keep pouring the bourbon.
But that leads me to the fact that other big news for you is that you're going to be opening up your second location of Rodney Scott Barbecue in Birmingham.
Yes.
So why Birmingham?
Why not?
Okay.
People eat barbecue in Birmingham too. Why Birmingham? I travel to Birmingham a lot, and I've seen the city grow and met a lot of people down there, and I did several events down there and helped out on events down there as well, and each time it's been a happy crowd afterwards. So I said, you know, why not? If there's an opportunity ever, this is a great place to come.
What neighborhood will you be in? Do you know yet? Or have you announced it yet?
Well, I haven't announced the neighborhood yet, but it's a nice location that I'm looking at.
I have a guess.
What's your guess?
Avondale.
Where's that?
I'm not super familiar with Birmingham.
Me either.
Avondale is where Post Office Pies is. Have you been to Post Office Pies?
I've been to Post Office Pies.
You gotta go to Post Office Pies.
Okay.
I'm blanking on the chef's name. I believe it's John something, but he's from Birmingham originally.
Okay.
I believe. But he used to cook at one of the Momofuku's up here in New York. But while he was living in Brooklyn and working at Momofuku, he ran a questionably legal pizza delivery service out of his apartment. And he makes some good pizza in Birmingham. So I'd recommend it.
All right.
I have a feeling you'll be spending a lot more time there.
But we looked at several buildings in the Birmingham area, and the decision is coming real close.
Okay.
Real close.
That's super exciting.
Yeah.
So also wanted to talk to you about Big Apple Barbecue, which is why you're here in town.
Yes.
What have you got up your sleeve for Big Apple Barbecue?
A whole lot of loud music, water, patience, because we're going to be doing a lot of cooking for a lot of new people. Mm-hmm. And, we're going to do some ribs and coleslaw.
Mm. How many years have you done Big Apple Barbecue?
Again, a lot of bourbon.
More than one?
More than three.
Okay. Three. I remember seeing you several years ago, but I don't know when it was.
I think my first time was 2011.
Uh-huh.
And I helped out a couple of years as well. So there have been some years that I've done it myself. A couple of years that I've helped somebody else out, well, helped Nick out whenever he was doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's been quite a few times.
Jim and Nick's started in Birmingham, or was it Tuscaloosa?
I think it's Birmingham.
In Birmingham.
Yeah.
So what are you excited to like be in the same market as Jim and Nick's?
Yes. It's always exciting to be in the market with another barbecue company, period, because people will go from one to the next to find out that we're all different.
Yeah.
You know, we look and sound alike, but we're all different.
Yeah.
You know?
What are some of the main differences that if someone was asking, like, what's the difference between Jim and Nick's barbecue and Ronnie Scott barbecue?
Well, Jim and Nick's has a different type of sauce. They use a ketchup base a little bit. They have a habanero sauce. You know, they got a lot of great sauces. The Alabama white sauce.
My favorite.
Oh, man, it's so good. I use vinegar and pepper.
Love it, too.
You know, totally.
Different side of the coin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different side. And we do things different, period. You know, I do the whole hog. Jim and Nick's is not known for doing whole hog. But they do so many other great foods. They got the turkey.
Yeah.
They got the brisket, which I don't do. Mm-hmm. You know, they have, oh my God, they catered my wedding. Let me put it to you like that.
That's really good catering.
Yeah.
And I have an ignorant Yankee question for you.
What's that?
Because I love barbecue, but I still don't quite know all the different regional traits. So is the vinegar and pepper, is that a South Carolina specialty? Like what makes South Carolina barbecue special? And I know yours is especially special.
It's so weird. Eastern North Carolina and Eastern South Carolina both are known for vinegar and pepper.
Okay.
When she get to the middle part of the state of South Carolina, that's when you run into a mustard base. But when you get to the western part of North Carolina, you hear people talking about the tomato base.
We need like a barbecue map.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now when you get to the very corner where the three states meet, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina meet, people are talking about tomato over there. So it's weird. And then you go further west, you hear some people talk about molasses.
I'm on board for that.
You know, it's so many different things that they do.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's important for Pitmasters restaurants to stick to a style? Or do you think that there's some openness there for experimentation? Like, how would people react if you just started doing brisket in a totally different style?
Honestly, I don't know how they will react, but if that's something I feel, I'm going for it.
Amen.
You know, if you got that feeling, go for it. Stand behind it.
Yeah.
You know, do what you feel. If we all waited for everybody else's opinion, we would all be stuck. So my thing is, if you feel creative and you think you can make something different, do it. You know, people challenge you all the time. Do what you want. Do what you feel. Follow your passion.
Awesome.
That's what we do. Like, food critics ask me, well, I think your sauce is too spicy. Well, I think your barbecue is whatever they say. And my whole question to them is, did you understand what you were coming to eat?
Right.
Do it's, you or don't you?
Yeah.
You know, here's my product. Here's my style. Enjoy it. If you don't, come back and check something else out later.
Do you have a favorite wood?
I like oak.
Me too.
With hickory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite blend.
Because I don't barbecue, I grill.
Okay.
But it's similar. It's just my tri-tip or whatever is going to cook a lot faster than somebody's brisket, right?
Yeah, way faster.
Yeah, I've smoked briskets. I just did a thing for Whole Foods at the ranch, and we smoked a ton of briskets. And I was just a pit hand.
Okay.
I was playing guitar also, so I was trying to entertain because it was a long process, but. What I was struck by is how different wood, obviously you have different smoke, it does different things with different meat. And
it does.
Oak to me is what I grew up eating. So
yeah, that's what I grew up on, oak.
I want to try your food.
You got to.
You need to go to Charleston.
Yeah.
And soon Birmingham.
Yeah.
Book a flight, man. It don't take long. Smartphones got them all right there.
Think about what it takes to swim a coastline longer than the entire eastern seaboard and leap tall waterfalls in a single bound. What does it take to survive 200 feet deep in icy salt water? What would you be made of? Wild Alaska seafood is made of tight muscle mass, long chain omega-3s, and incredible micronutrients. It matters where your food comes from. Experience the flavor of the fittest in every bite and enjoy food the way nature intended. Alaska Seafood, wild, natural, and sustainable. Ask for Alaska on the menu, grocery store, or smart device. For more information, visit wildalaskaseafood.com.
Well, I want to wrap up with, we always do a little bit of trivia. And the trivia I picked for you today is about Birmingham, since you're heading there. I'm from Alabama. You being in Birmingham is going to be very convenient for me, because we go to visit Gadsden, which is like an hour away. So this is really just working out well
I'm
for
gonna
me,
do
Rodney.
Best I can.
Okay. And Brian and Hannah are here to help as well. Well, Hannah knows the answers, but she can help too.
I can do hints, maybe.
Yeah. All right.
Good.
So, Birmingham is the only place in the world where all three raw ingredients for steel occur naturally within a 10-mile radius. Those ingredients are coal, limestone, and what?
Hugs.
That other stuff.
Hugs?
Yeah.
You gotta have hugs to make steel.
I don't know if that's a helpful hint, Brian.
I'm sorry.
My hint for you is that this is in direct reference to Birmingham's nickname.
Wow. I don't even...
Could you say the ingredients again?
Yes, coal, limestone, and what? How much do you guys know about college football? Yes.
What'd you say?
I said hugs.
Hugs.
Yeah, but
wait,
it was
iron.
Was
I right?
Iron, yeah.
Iron?
Iron.
Yeah. But Alabama football is what? Crimson Tide?
Well, I was going to say, like Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah.
Iron Bowl. Yeah. It's called that because it used to be played in Birmingham.
And it's a, you know what though? I just say for the audience out there, there's a ton of pressure in this studio.
Oh,
right
gosh.
Now.
Oh man,
it's
so much pressure.
No.
But you know what?
Yeah, I got it easy out here.
I feel good though because I come from a town of 400.
Yeah. I'm
You're
just,
already ahead.
I'm helping Rodney. He's gonna know all this stuff about Birmingham now, and just everyone will be so impressed.
You want to make sure he makes new friends in Birmingham. Come on.
Oh, I will. The tide
yes,
will
you
roll.
Will.
Roll tide.
No, War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, whichever one.
You're gonna have to
Carolina
practice
colors.
This. You're gonna have Jeez. To practice this.
Nobody cares, Kat.
And this directly disproves the theory that there's no pressure in the studio.
Wow.
When it comes to Alabama football.
No kidding.
I know about Alabama football.
I've never cared about football in my life, but being around Kat and
you
her boyfriend Will, it's like now it's like a part of my life.
Is it really?
Oh, God. I went to Penn State and they were way worse than anybody I know.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah. Rodney's a fan.
I meant Kat and her boyfriend are way worse than anybody I know.
Oh, I see.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, Nick is an Alabama guy.
Nick is an Alabama guy.
See,
yes.
I talked to him and I was like, I'm going to have to put this aside while I talk to you. But afterwards, we're not going to be friends. I'm just kidding. But you know, you've been in Alabama enough to know that it's a whole thing. Okay, next question. Schloss Furnace. Familiar with Schloss Furnace?
Very little.
Okay. It's a National Historic Landmark that is host to art classes, concerts, and even barbecue cook-offs, which is oddly fitting since it used to produce what intermediate product of the iron industry?
Which intermediate product?
It's not hugs.
It wasn't a hug, no. I'm guessing it was a steel mill.
It was a steel mill. Steel mill.
Yeah.
And it was a like blast furnace, essentially. And so it was making this like kind of off product of iron. And the name of this type of iron is very closely related to what you do, Rodney. It's an animal type of iron.
It's animal.
And it's featured in a song called The Rock Island Line.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that song.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, there's a picture of it on your sweatshirt.
Oh, that'd be the pig.
Pig!
Wow.
First try.
Yeah, all right. See?
Okay.
All right, question number 3.
So he's getting an A so far.
He's killing it.
Oh, yeah, just... notes are hidden, written in my hand.
Oh, yeah. All right, Birmingham is home to the largest cast iron statue in the world. What's it of?
That's the... It has a name. It's the guy on the horse.
I'm going to give a hint that Brian should know. The Roman god of fire and forge.
It stands up like this.
Uh-huh.
Radio can't see it.
Starts.
So right now Rodney's pointing his hand up in the
up
air.
Up in the air.
It's
he looks
on,
very
it's,
statuesque.
It's very tall.
Yes, it's huge.
And God, I can't.
It's on the mountain.
Vulcan.
That's yes!
Yeah. See?
He aced the test.
I knew it would come through.
Yeah. All right, question number 4.
Oh, there's 4.
Birmingham We're good on time. Birmingham is home to one of the biggest urban parks in the country, which is a full 40% bigger than Central Park. What's the name of Birmingham's park?
Is that the railroad park? No.
Oh, man.
I don't know. That park.
It's called...
Hold on.
Yeah, give him a second.
Wait a minute. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Promotional considerations by Botany 500 for men.
It's what?
There's a color in the name.
Oh, I'm about to be wrong.
Oh.
Green Park. No, 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 no.
Name another color.
No, 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 no. I can't think of the name.
Red?
No, I was wrong.
Red Mountain Park.
I was wrong. I would have been all wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
They might rename it.
There's zip lining in Red Mountain Park.
There's zip lining?
Yeah. Wow. You should check it out.
We should.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I hope they like barbecue when they finish zip lining.
Bet you they do.
They work up quite a hunger.
They need a zip line into the restaurant.
Well, I don't know about that. They might not stop in time. They might hit a wall.
End up in the pit.
Yeah.
Zips and pits.
There you go.
All right, last question. Birmingham is named after Birmingham, UK. What chocolate dynasty was hatched in the British Birmingham?
Gotta
stay after class for that one.
I could guess.
I don't know.
I could guess.
It's probably your first.
There's a hint in the question. What chocolate dynasty was hatched?
Yeah, I would say
Hershey. Hershey was Pennsylvania.
I'd say Cadbury. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cadbury?
Yeah, like the cream eggs. Yep. That was the...
Yep.
Yeah, that's the Easter
candy. I watched a lot of TV as a kid. I thought the yolk in those cream eggs was going to taste better than it did.
Yeah, they're just
not
the same. Yeah. All due respect to Cadbury.
Wow. I think Cadbury. They say they're better in the UK because I think the ingredients...
They have real eggs. Yeah. You know, right? There's a shell. It's actually just a chocolate dipped egg.
Oh, that's truly
that sounds British, doesn't it?
It does. It really is the best of British cuisine.
Oh my gosh.
That commercial is so old. Wow. That takes me way back.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, Rodney and Brian, thanks for playing our Birmingham, Alabama trivia game.
Thank you.
Rodney, I hope that it prepares you with a little bit of knowledge. Of the city you're moving into.
I'm about to go research everything.
Birmingham's a very cool city, and I'm glad that you're going to be opening up there. I think it's going to be awesome.
It's a great city. That's why I chose Birmingham.
Yeah.
Great city.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's our show. Thank you to Rodney Scott. Thank you to Brian Kenny. Thanks, Hannah Forden. Thanks, David Tatasciore. We will be back next week with more HR and Happy Hour. And make sure that you subscribe to HR and Happy Hour, and also make sure you subscribe to Meet in 3, our new show. It's only 15 minutes. It comes out every Friday. It's going to give you stories that will delight you, inspire you, educate you. It's great. Rodney was in it. I'm sure Brian's going to be in it soon.
Any moment.
So make sure Meet and 3. It's Meet plus sign 3. And thanks for listening. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
HRN Happy Hour is powered by Simplecast.
Simplecast is a popular hosting and analytics platform that allows podcasters to easily host and publish to apps like Apple Podcasts. If you have a podcast or are looking to create your very first, check it out. Try it for free and save half off your first 3 months at simplecast.com/heritage.